Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is an official chat and shit disclaimer.
Yeah.
You might be listening to this thinking, oh my days, some of this sounds really dated because we're not in lockdown as much anymore.
It is.
Well, that's fine.
It's vintage.
Exactly. Some of it was recorded a little while back. Get over it.
So just play it. And if you don't like or you think, oh, that's wrong, skip it 15 seconds.
Just skip it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right, press play now.
You are now in June to the Chat and Shit podcast. Guess what? Guess what? This is a podcast. And it's called Chatting Shit, boy. Welcome.
So, Hugo.
Yeah, man.
The Chegwin, as they call him in Wales.
They do. Chegworth in Cornwall.
The third.
Yes.
The man with the strong beard and the tiny tash.
The piercing eyes. Tiny.
I feel like there's a story behind the moustache.
There is. It's called trying to find the right barber. Alert.
Like it. You've gone with like a Latino sort of Dominican guy?
Yeah, I've gone with a real hood barber.
Yeah.
Real hood. This is no joke. He's 5 foot tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You finally met someone shorter than you.
I know, yeah. I look at him fascinated, right?
You look at him like, this is how everyone must see me.
Sometimes I do see short people and I think, God, you're tiny. And then I think, oh, wait, people think I'm tiny.
Yeah. So that's good to see you. I like the orange hat.
Yeah, thanks. I just chucked it on.
What jumper? A little bit, a little polo number, a little palace top. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, you know.
Running with the P's, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a patter on. You know what I mean?
Three P's. Pressure.
Yeah. There's a lot of pressure with this guest today as well.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, this guest, you know, this person is, I mean, she's from my neck of the woods, yeah? We came up roughly the same time.
Prague.
Yeah. Yeah, Argon, Kurdistan, no, Kingston, but
similar.
It's similar, yeah. I knew some of her brothers. Yeah, she comes from a super talented family. Not only has this person presented some of the most prestigious award shows in the UK, but she's a primetime Radio 1 presenter.
For true,
she's quite literally in her prime. The glorious, the amazing, the one, the only, Clara Amfo.
Come on.
There we go.
Hey, yo. What's going on?
Oi, oi.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's a good angle, man. You look like you just come from an award ceremony.
No, listen. The internet lasts forever. I'm not chatting to you with a bare face, hon. Sorry. Come on. And look, and all this time at home, you become your own makeup artist.
Yeah, I'm powdered. I'm so powdered right now.
you look fabulous, skinless, flawless. is this bright enough?
Yeah, it's perfect, man. Spot on.
Okay, wicked.
What is this on your phone then?
Yeah, I've got this little light thing. You just stick it on top of your phone.
So you spilled coffee on your laptop?
Yeah. So look, water. So the other day, I was just doing some work in bed and like a dickhead everywhere. I was supposed to get it back earlier on this week, but it's still getting repaired, which is really fucking annoying.
I feel like that's my fault because this this podcast, this episode has been cursed, man. Like, how many times have we tried to get
on? Oh my God.
Like, and every time something goes wrong, man. And I feel like, oh shit, I feel like it's my fault. I've cursed it.
Well,
so maybe I should pay for it. That's what I'm saying.
Look, if you want to, the bill's £149 plus VAT, so feel free. That's I'm changing you, isn't it? Big time.
Oh, big time, man. He frames ramen photos. He's got so much money.
Oh, that's. I've got a poster of different ramens in the background, and Hugo's terrorizing me. I thought it was sick.
Yeah.
Well, you're one of the people, aren't you?
I am, man. I am. I'm a man of the people, as they call me.
Or of ramen.
Oh, man of ramen, that's right. Yeah.
Yes. Start at the bottom.
So, Clara, man, like, thanks for coming on. You're obviously a professional at things like this, chatting.
That's the rumor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're definitely not.
We're not, so bear with
us.
All. Yeah. Yeah.
No judgment.
Yeah. And if anything sounds shit, then it's shit on purpose. That's
yeah.
It's all good.
All right, sick. So we're kind of all going back to normal slowly now, but
yes.
How was your lockdown? And I mean, you were still working the whole time, right? Having to go in as a
key.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I'm technically classed. The government says that I'm a key worker, which I still find a little bit it's not something that I personally will say, like, yes, I am one, but this is what the government say. So that is why,
But it's true, isn't it? It's kind of like we was in a war and we still needed those things to take our mind off it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's been weird, but I have to say, like, at the risk of sounding peace and love. But look, we need peace and love, for God's sake, because the world literally is on fire. But I think I've definitely had a renewed sense of sort of like gratitude and sort of perspective with everything that's just been going on. And like, to go to work, it is a privilege to go to work. And sort of like chatting to the listeners, you realise how much you become part of people's day when they literally have got up in
the
or if they are working, you know, they're allowed radio as a sort of treat. Like, it's been sort of mad to sort of connect to them on that level. So yeah, it's been my routine hasn't changed, but I've never like dressed up with half of my body looking presentable and half of it looking.
Yes, that's sick.
Yes.
Hey, top half's award ceremony, bottom half's just Netflix vibes.
This is it. So, you know, besides going into work to do radio, like, everything I've been doing is like literally, I think we all have just been staring into our phones even more than we usually do, just to get stuff done. Yeah.
Hey guys, it's Ron here, coming back at you like Cleopatra, trying out a new catchphrase. But I hope y'all guys enjoy the podcast. And remember, all the links will be down at the bottom, all the recos down at the bottom, and hope y'all enjoy them.
I mean, you're one of the hardest working people I know. So I know you haven't really got much time for yourself, but like, have you been watching or reading or listening to anything you can recommend?
What have I been watching? I mean, I'll tell you what, I started watching the Epstein doc, and I was it's because it's a four-parter, I can only get past two. We all know what happens in the end.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. My friend said the same thing to me. He called me up and he was like, because it is a really well put together doc and it's super important. But my friend said the same thing. He's like, is this what? I've watched one episode, and if I've got to watch four episodes of this, it just makes me sick. I can't really watch it.
Two of them kind of hesitant to watch the next two.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, Hugo. It's it's so dark and it is so intriguing, and like, you know, obviously you get that thing saying, you still watching? You're just like, yeah, I am, but I don't know.
You know what, it's quite similar to the Harvey Weinstein
but that's it. It's just like that. When you become, I mean, I think we're always aware of it anyway, just because of the world of rumors. Mm-hmm. But when you become acutely aware of just the depths of what that amount of money and that amount of power can get people, it's so fucking scary. And just
it's
watching
insane.
The things off, I was just like, I want to be a little bit blissfully ignorant, even though I know, again, we're aware. Dark, I was just like, no, I can't carry on. So to answer your question, that's one thing I've been watching.
Yeah.
But I've also been regressing a lot, just watching a lot of, like, just classic stuff, just because obviously, like a lot of our favourite shows, they've had to stop production now. So they're not going to come back for quite a while until, you know, until obviously the coast is like clear and everything. So I'd watch this sort of loads of like noughties and like 90s, like American sitcoms and stuff. Like I've been watching Living Single, which is allegedly what Friends was based on. Like there was a whole big thing recently.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
it's Living Single. It's like an all-black cast, and it's literally the same setup of like, well, no, it's four girls and like two guys. But basically, there was a thing recently with like one of the old actresses from it called Erica Alexander and David Schwimmer, and him being all like, "Yeah, well, we were the first in this." She's like, "Well, actually."
Oh shit! Like, so that was the first in its kind in that sort of sitcom comedy.
Yeah, that sort of vibe. And it's
Living Single. I've made a note of that. Yeah,
that is wicked. Even like just into like the fashion and just like, and, like
Yeah.
I've heard rappers reference it, like
people reference it, and like, and it's like sort of been sort of like sent up and like parodied, like loads of people's like music videos and stuff. But it's just really well written, and I really like that. But I also like a lot of drama that makes me sad. Like I watch a lot of like weepy stuff. Like, you know that show called This Is Us? Do you watch it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
This Is Us.
Oh my god. That show is so cleverly written. It's so good. But yeah, you'll just be sobbing like the whole bloody time.
Do you know what? I kind of like that escapism of like...
That would frighten me. I wouldn't put it on. I'd be too romantic.
Yeah, me and my girl are watching it. But like, it's like...
I love the fact that you had to...
No, me and my girl...
Don't lie. You'd watch it even if she wasn't there.
Because even your reaction made me feel not manly. When you watch that.
I watch stuff like the Married at First Sight. I love
it. Oh, my God.
I watched the 90 Day Fiancé. I watch all of it.
All of that shit. All of that kind of romantic trash. Yeah. Catnip.
Oh, hold on.
I loved, what's the one that everyone was going, Love Is Blind.
Love Is Blind,
I watched that.
I watched a bit of it. For some reason, I couldn't fully get... Yeah. Oh, do you know what it is? I'm borderline with trash TV. After that whole... So I grew up not being into trash TV. Like, oh, dumb your mind, blah, blah, blah. Then I started watching loads of it because it's quite inspirational for comedy characters.
That's why I say I like it.
You know, like with the whole Love Island thing, where I kind of felt a bit like almost guilty and like, and just actually thick from it. Do you know what I mean? Like I actually felt thick from watching Bear of it.
So for I find Love Island too well made. Like I like the ones that are a bit badly made.
I
hear what you mean. I think also with a lot of reality TV, whether it's Love Island, Big Brother, whatever, I think all the contestants, because of how the culture has changed, they're so savvy now and so calculating, it's taken away a bit of the magic. Like, and I think with all kind of good reality TV, the magic and the best ones was like the first like one to three of the series, because no one's aware of like, all the fame and the magnitude and whatever. Because even actually my mate was telling me, like Love Island Australia, that one of the guys that won a recent series, it turned out he had a girlfriend the whole time, and like they plotted like for him to go on it and like make some girl think that they were deeply in love just so that he could like promote his like shit clothing line.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Like, I think it's just become a little bit tainted
and it's easy. That's the thing, like we deep down know that's shit, and a lot of those sort of people are shit for their, you know, for being so superficial at that, we get sucked into it. So sometimes I take myself out of it. I'm like, I'm just feel too stupid. Do you know what I mean? But I'm kind of back now because I found a thing on Netflix called Dating Around, which is sick. But it's like, it's not like, you know, like with American stuff where they sort of use manipulative music and like the you know, that the narration and stuff like that. It's not like that. It's just more fly on the wall. And it's like, I don't know, I'm just selling a corny show, but it is sick. Like,
I feel like the American ones, like they constantly tell you what's going to happen. Like you are stupid. Like every 5 minutes, coming up.
Big
moments. And then when it happens, it's like an anti-climax.
You're like, I've just seen this.
Coming up, Sarah and Tom go on a second date. It's like, yeah, I know that's what
All right, sick. So let's take it back to the beginning, Clara.
Yeah.
the beginning of your life. So like, me and you are from the same ends kind of thing, isn't it?
We are.
So, Kingston. I was like...
I used to go down there.
Yeah.
I've forgotten the name of the shopping centre, but you know.
Bentall Centre.
Natajax.
That's what people used to say all the time.
And I knew your brother, Chris.
Yeah.
Proper G. And also Hugo. Right. You know who our older brother is? Stevie A.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Legend.
Yeah. I know. You know,
Pirate Radio Jedi.
He's the first person I met at your family, actually, because the first time I went on Pirate Radio, it was called Rampage FM. Like, it was my first ever set.
Nice.
And I didn't even have a DJ. I just had a CD with me. And like, and he was just coming off, and I'd obviously heard of him and shit. I was like, oh my days, it's insane. So yeah, it's pretty mad, man. Legendary.
Did he stay for your set?
Of course he didn't, man. Nah. No one stayed. I was just on my own, isn't I? But like, yeah, man. I mean, yeah, you've got like a super talented creative family. So how did it start for you? Did you
It's a weird one, really, with us lot, because we're like second gen, like Ghanaians. Like, our parents both from Ghana.
Yeah.
From this area called Jikiti, which is in the north of Ghana, okay. And like they're from like this quite small village, like quite a small population. And you know, my dad came to this country in 1960. I mean, I tell the story all the time, but I guess I'm my father's daughter, and that's what he used to do. But like, yeah, my dad came to the country in 1969. This whole thing, like, any time we'd like sort of act up, or if he wanted to sort of like, you know, tell his origin story to kind of make us sort of, work harder in school.
He'd be
like,
look,
I came to this country. Literally,
he'd be like, I came to this country with £25 in my pocket. Like, that was always his thing. Because he literally did. Like, he,
yeah.
And obviously £25, like in 1969, I mean, was a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
like 50
but, yeah.
Quid.
But yeah, well, yeah, that's it, yeah. And he came here to study microbiology. That was his profession. He's a microbiologist and a parasitologist. Like, he passed away like 5 years ago, 2015. But no, he was a G. Like, you know, it's like, I think when you say your dad's dead, it was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like,
I know, yeah.
But like,
yeah.
Is that it? But honestly, it's like, you know, I think I'm at that point with like, you know, my sort of grief process and sort of acceptance of it. Like, I talk about him often and very freely and in a celebratory way, because I think, you know, that's how we should speak about dead people that we love.
Definitely.
Like, yeah. What's the point of somebody like living?
It's you not, speak not about your dad like that as well. Like,
yeah, man,
like, funny...
same thing for me. My dad passed away about 6 years ago. And
yeah.
Same. I know exactly what you mean, yeah, because everyone goes, oh, shit, it's not your fault, you know what I mean? It's like, and you know, life goes on, man, but it's sad. And like you say, they should live on in the memory and like you're telling stories here.
I remember when I first met your dad, he was a proper character and he was with his friend. And you went into the kitchen... And his friend looked at you and he went, Alan, you got a great moustache.
No, he went, Alan, nice moustache.
That's a high compliment. That's
very high.
In my culture, like they're from Iraq, in my culture, a big compliment, man. Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
I need to step my game up.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if the aunties and uncles rate you, then you're on
definitely.
Definitely. You're
on
to a good thing.
You're on to
But he came here in 1969, came here to study. And then my mum followed him like a few years later, and they got married like over here. So they got married in Ghana. My mum has like all her life sort of been like a dinner lady and a cleaner. Like, she's the head of her little janitorial team at our hospital. But she hasn't been working obviously since COVID, because she's like quite at risk because of her age.
Right.
My dad just always worked in like NHS hospital, so he was like about three or four over the years. He did that for 30 odd years. But my dad was like very, you know, very well read, very smart, very philosophical. My mum is like very religious, very traditional, and I think they both sort of ideally wanted all of us like to be, you know, maybe a doctor or a lawyer.
That's so surprising of how creative you all are.
Well, this is it. I think it was this sort of I think it was this like a low-key rebellion, but also just with products of our environment, you know.
Yeah.
That's not to say there isn't a creative scene like in Ghana, you know, or like the music and like the food and the architecture and the art.
Yeah.
Like, it's truly incredible. But we, you know, we were just a product of, you know, growing up in the UK in like, you know, 80s, 90s, noughties, MTV, but then our parents sort of, like, you know, you're such a sponge as a kid, aren't you?
Yeah.
You just take in like what's around you. And I think the day that my parents like gave cable TV, I was just like, that's me.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm very much about this life. kind of thing. And so I think all of us are sort of like that. Like, and we all sort of work in creative fields, or like one of my brothers, like, you know, he sells like booze to like fancy hotels and that, but has to come with like creative stuff. And like another one of my brothers is a screenwriter and a voiceover, like Chris, you know, like is a menswear like fashion stylist. And none of us were our parents' dream, but it's
that's
just,
mad.
Luckily, it turns out not too bad.
Yeah, no, that's it. Because I was thinking about that before asking that question, because like my family, similar sort of thing. Like my dad, my dad had to run away from, you know, from Iraq when Saddam was there. But and when he came over, same sort of thing. Like he was very like he was a proper like scholar. Like he studied chemical engineering, and my mum wasn't necessarily really into like music or the arts or anything like that. So when I thought about your family, I was like, I wonder if their parents are like creatives, and or like how easy it was for you guys to persuade them of what you wanted to pursue, kind of thing, you know?
It was a weird one, because it was never this thing of like, oh yeah, if you do this, I'm booting you out of the house and don't ever speak to me again, and I'm cutting you off, and you're going to bring shame on our family. Because I know a lot of like, you know, second gen like West African kids, or even just second gen like non-English kids, like people from like, you know, like from your background, like anywhere that's just not England, like whose parents came over here, you know, to sort of, well, yeah, for a quote unquote, and I say that very strongly, quote unquote, better life. And that's not to say that Ghana is wildly impoverished and like it's super struggling, but there was just more opportunity for like, you know, certain things our parents wanted to see. And I think it's that thing of like when you have to uproot your whole life to move over to another country. If you have kids that are born here, you're just like, look, you fucking better do something decent, because I've literally left everything that I know.
Your kids, by you saying you want to be a creative, you're essentially saying I'm going to gamble my life and see what happens. And they're like, I've worked my fucking ass off for this.
Well, must be scary, like, relocate to another country.
Absolutely. Anyway. Like, when my dad first moved to this country, he was living in fucking Elton, for God's sake. Remember, and like, lest we forget, God rest his soul, you know, that's where Stephen Lawrence was murdered. And that was that happened in 93. Mm-hmm. Imagine my dad there in 1969, 1970.
Fucking hell,
so he was just
a lot.
Gotta go. died around Southland, like, and then decided to like settle in Kingston. But yeah, you know, it was just that thing of like, okay, look, we've come here, so you better make the most of it. So when we did all sort of meander into sort of like the creative industry, there were definitely like raised eyebrows. But then it was a thing of like, all right, I accept it, but if you're going to do it, you better make sure that you seriously like work hard and like rise to the top, because otherwise, what's the point?
Fuck, that makes perfect sense. Like I said, you're the hardest fucking worker. I see you everywhere. So they instilled those morals in you, man. That's sick. And do you think because your older brother was like doing music and stuff like that, they kind of already saw and understood kind of thing, like in a sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think with all my brothers, like I think we, like, I just kind of, you know, when you're like a younger sibling, you just want to be like your big brothers and sisters, don't you? And I think, you know, like, and even like my younger brother, like, well, I think we would sort of influence each other. Like, we would listen to everything in our house, from like flipping Metallica to like, you know, like Nicki S and Nike to early NERD, like, you know, just David Bowie, like anything, like to Ghanaian pop music. I had such a melting pot of influences, like, you know, Tribe Called Quest, like, or just anything, you know, like my dad would listen to Classic FM in the car, so it just had all these sort of influences. So that I think that's just what sort of shapes my taste. And then, like, you know, just listening to radio and loving TV, I was just like, oh, hang on, I can make this into a career, just sort of like, you know, presenting things about culture and having conversations about it.
You know, it's one thing being passionate about something and you know, realizing you've got an ear for things and a talent, but like how do you step into that field? Like what was your first?
So I first started in radio doing like essentially like being a sort of marketing intern at KISS.
And the way what did you do? Oh, sorry, go on. Yeah.
I went to uni. I went to St. Mary's Uni, and I did media arts with professional creative writing, which I know it sounds really like pontine. Some people allege that it's a Mickey Mouse degree, and so I say, fuck you.
Yeah.
No, but I genuinely loved it, because I think that's where, you know, I learned like about like the basics of sort of like radio production. Then we did like amazing sort of like film modules, or you know, you studied like female representation in film, and like, you know, just like all types of stuff, and it just gave you a really broad sort of view of like the sort of creative arts, like media and like broadcast
and large. Also the practical side of it, which no one knows about. Like, I mean, like you say, you could know how to, you know, you can enjoy listening to music and want to do it, but until you know the practical side, it's quite alien, isn't it?
Well, yeah, this is it. And like, you know, I think I don't, and I say this, but I have to stress, I don't think you need to go to uni to like to work in the media, like absolutely not. But for me, that course at the time just like worked out well, because we had this one module which was like, we had to make like a radio like documentary. So I learned how to edit in that, and like, you know, how to record properly, like, you know, just how to mix and everything. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is like this is great. So I did that. But when I was there, I met this girl, and like her like a friend of hers like started up this TV station called Just Fabulous, which is really ironic because it wasn't really fabulous. And the guy that ran it ends up getting like done for like carousel trading, and the TV station got like shut down. That was one of my first sort of like media jobs. I was working there as a logger, so we'd like watch all the TV shows, like put down all the time codes for like the people to edit. And then when I was working there, that's when I met this woman who used to work at Kiss FM. And she's like, look, I know they're looking for people to just sort of like to assist with like the marketing team. Like, it's only for 3 months, so you should just go for it. And I was just like, yeah, fuck it, like, why not? Yeah. And so I went for this interview, and I was supposed to be there for 3 months and not staying for like 5 years.
Right,
and that's how I started at Kiss, just like working in the office and like,
learning your trade.
Learning your trade at Kiss.
I was doing everything in there, like whether it was like ordering the stationery, sort of doing like voiceovers for free because they'd like run out of budget for like to pay the actual voiceover, or like looking after like the boss's like diary when his PA would go. I basically became sort of an office assistant. I just sort of made myself like into, and it was like a proper like family, like, you know, I'd like hang out on a Friday and just like watch EZ's show and like go home at like midnight.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And like, you know, he like proper took me under his wing. He's like an amazing guy, and like, you know, you just see all these people that you've grown up listening to just come in the office and record their shows, and it was
a myth. I remember when we first met him, it was just like such a surreal kind of,
did like, you hear the music like
we went on after him, which is terrifying, and he saw us behind him. I'm sure he didn't know who the hell we were, and he turned around and he just gave us all five, and then he just left. But like,
that was even. But there was just the energy. I mean, it's very like, there's just like, he's got very like aura, but like a humble aura. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, he could be an absolute arsehole if he wanted to be. Yeah. He's got all the right to be. He is genuinely one of the nicest and most humble and warm and loving people you could meet in the business. Like, he genuinely really cares about people. He's very low-key, keeps himself to himself, like, isn't gas. And he's just, like, to watch him, like, it's like the way he uses the CDJ, like a proper instrument. Like,
it's like a drum machine.
It's amazing. So I can see why he didn't want to go on after him.
Definitely not.
Yeah, no, man, he's
a G. I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. Right about now, you are locked into the legendary Chat and Shit podcast, lad. With Alan Seep and Mustafa, Hugo Chegwin, and a nice little special guest there.
I guess maybe the fact that you were doing those voiceovers was your first start into kind of coming from behind the scenes to in front
feeling
of the scenes.
Comfortable. Say.
Yeah, like, well, like yeah, being comfortable using your voice and putting it out there kind of thing.
Yeah, because I think, you know, it was such a family sort of environment. Yeah. It'd just be like, I don't know, I'd be like doing a bit of paper, be like, oi, Clara, come here and say this Nike advert, please. I'd be like, all right, cool. Like, it was just part of like my sort of working day. And then I always was a little bit like, me and my old boss Andy had this very like, it wasn't a love hate relationship, but I was almost like his annoying little sister, where I'd be like, look, he just like, come on, just let me just do like one show a week.
Yeah.
You know, we'd always sort of have debates about like the playlist. I'd be like, why the hell is this song on here? Like, no. Or he'd ask me my opinion about the playlist. I'd be like, you should be playing this. Blah, 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 blah. And there was always that thing of like, you know, like I think it was always very clear that I genuinely cared about the station. Because again, Kiss is like an iconic brand. And so many of my favorite broadcasters have come from that station.
Yeah.
So, you know, like working there was genuinely like so exciting at the time.
Yeah, and famously, they started off as pirates as well. They paved the way for like pirates going.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. And so I think he saw the passion and knew that it wasn't like a joke to me. I wasn't out here trying to be like, oh God, I just want to be like famous. And that's
He
knew that I genuinely like was really like about it. And
that so, counts for a lot, man. Definitely.
Yeah. But I think he just saw the passion. He was just like, okay, let me give her a go. And so I started doing cover shows at Christmas. And then I ended up doing like the Drive Time show before I left for One Extra. So
we only met when you got to One Extra.
Yeah.
I didn't really know about that. So when from Kiss, how did you get onto One Extra?
I was like, I think in my sort of final year there, so around like early 2012, I'd always was a fan of One Extra. I had my eye on there, so I basically started making like sneaky demos for One Extra, and I'd be like sneaking up the high street because like they were literally around the corner from each other at the time, Kiss and One Extra.
So I'd
go to One Extra to make demos with them, and I did that on and off for about 18 months. Then they finally offered me Weekend Breakfast, and then that's how I got in there. And then like about another year and a bit later, I went from One Extra to Radio One. And
what?
Then
that's what after, I had you, after
that's
a year.
What I had you lot on the live lounge.
Yeah. Oh my days. Yeah, that's mad. Yeah,
I was just overwhelmed with fear when we first went into One Extra. I was like, oh my God, we're gonna mess it up.
Do you know what, ironically, they were all so scared when we were coming in because everyone thought we were gonna, do you know what I mean? Be boisterous and swear and stuff like that. But we're all shitting ourselves deep inside because we're trying not to swear and fuck up. You know what I mean? So we're
Listen, after we did that live lounge, the amount of complaints.
They thought I said pussy hole, but I didn't.
Yeah. You said ussy.
I said ussy.
Yeah, I mean that, like, yeah, Ofcom definitely had a field day.
Yeah.
And I had people having a go at me because obviously you lot are in character.
Yeah,
and I was sort of playing along. And then some people, like, I remember I got two official complaints against me and a bunch of tweets and texts. Like, oh, well, we thought Clara was really unkind, but really sarcastic to them. And they were just trying their best and she was really
good.
And I was just like, oh,
these
my God.
These poor competition winners.
And it was just like, oh, for God's sake. I mean, look, I love and respect people's empathy. It's just like, guys, come on, read the room.
I know, like, yeah, come on,
but,
yeah.
You know, but like, as I've always said about your show, I call it like Spinal Tap for the Speed Garage generation. Like, that's how I see it. And I think
that's a massive compliment, man.
But it truly is that. But for people that obviously don't get it, their mind is burning, or who aren't aware of the sort of culture, sort of like pirate radio and the history of music around that. It's just like, what the hell's Because I'm sure there are some people that still think that.
Oh, 100%. Listen, always a risk whenever we do anything. But I think it's worth that risk. And you're never going to please everyone. Do you know what I mean? It's
it's kind of
funny, isn't it?
The most common question I get asked when I'm out and about is, where's Grindr? Like,
and how is he that good looking?
Well, I don't know about that. But they just think I'm that guy. And I'm like, I don't know, man.
It must be so weird for you as actors, because it's not that you can escape your face.
No, it's true. Yeah.
It's so fascinating. You play other people, and like, you know, you can be in costume and whatever, and even wear prosthetics. But essentially, like, I think you're two very distinctive looking people, and it must be.
Definitely.
Yeah, I can't get my head around that.
With these characters, I feel people approach an actor who's been in things that aren't pirate radio based, they probably approach them quite nicely and gracefully. But with us, I just get shouted at. Like, Bates!
Yeah. Yes, Bates! You
know, walking into a shop with my kid sometimes. Bates!
Oh, God, that must be a bit annoying.
Yeah, and you know what? I guess we kind of, even though they're different makes, but similar sort of clothes, isn't they? Do you know what I mean?
A little bit.
Well, that's the thing. There's a thin line there,
sartorially.
Definitely.
No, I appreciate it, though. I'm glad at least people watch it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
This is where we just simply ask, and ask away.
All right, sweet. So from Kiss, you stepped into One Extra. Did you get welcomed in straight away? Did you feel at home?
No, man. Everyone was lovely.
Like a welcome change from Kiss?
Oh no, it genuinely wasn't. I mean, I think for one thing, and I say this no shade, but a little bit of shade. But the great thing about One Extra is that they didn't cut out raps and mid-lates out of songs. For the longest time, I sit here a guest rap on a sort of top 40 sort of R&B hip hop song, because my old boss would just be like, cut
them out, take it off.
No, they literally became the tourists. They'd be called like an A-Rob special, because my old boss is called Andy Roberts, and there's an A-Rob special where, you know, because you're commercial radio, the onus is on squeezing as many songs as you can in an hour, as well as the advertising. So he'd be like, okay, well, you know what? Who needs that extra bar from like Nicki Minaj? Let me cut that out. Certain artists would be like,
I had to do that for Emily Sandé, random, but. For Magic FM, when I made Heaven, they were like, can you turn the drums really low and speed it up a little bit? I'm like, yeah, okay.
That's so nuts.
Yeah.
So what is that, Clara? It's because they want to get as many tunes as they can so that they get more money. Is that how it works?
Audience.
It's about keeping the listener there for longer. And packing, because I think the average sort of radio station maybe 10 to 11 songs in an hour, and with a commercial station like Kiss, it might be like maybe 12 to 16, depending on the sort of edits. And so they want to keep your ears on it. So yeah, they would speed up a tune and cut a rap out. So yeah, I literally didn't hear like a guest feature for about 5 years. When I came to One Extra, and I was like,
got a verse on it.
Rap music.
Literally. Yeah. Like, as far as I listen to it in my own time, but anything sort of like top 40 or like popular, I was just so used to hearing that edited version. It became a bit of a thing of folklore. Like, I'm like whining, like tweet, like kiss, like, what the fuck are you on to myself? that was the thing. I think that was one of the differences that I loved. And like, you know, just that creativity to sort of like talk a bit longer. And just less of that sort of commercial pressure. And then you can just sort of talk to listeners a bit longer, and I think it's just my style of broadcasting that I prefer. And that's not to take away from commercial radio, because like to work at those stations, it's bloody hard work, and it teaches you to be very quick and be very good with like your word economy and like all of that. It was like the best. It was the best training. But I definitely was happy to take it to a different place for sure.
Do
you find talking on radio helps you talk in real life, like flow, but and like you say, like choose words and stuff like that, because like I'm quite weird and scattered with talking, but the more I do this, the more like I pause to let someone else talk, which I don't always do.
No, for sure, like it's definitely affected how I talk. in my usual conversations. And also, look, I'm somebody that naturally speaks like really, really fast. And for Rayla, I had to learn just to slow it all down. It got to one point where I was taking so many dramatic pauses in my speech because I was so aware of it. Sometimes I listened like, Clara, babe, like, come on. I mean, with someone at me being like, oh my God, why is Clara Amber always going, so, what did you do this afternoon? Because I was so aware of my speed, especially like when I get excited or passionate about stuff. I think we all do, it's a natural thing, you speak really quickly. But it's definitely made me choose my words a bit more wisely, that's for sure. And just, I think you never ever stop learning, like doing this job. You never do. And obviously, like, everyone's different. Like, sometimes you'll get guests in who are super chatty and you wish you had more time. It's just like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. And then sometimes you have guests in and it's just like, fucking hell, man. Like,
this is hard. Give me something.
Exactly.
So how did the jump from, like, One Extra to Radio 1 happen then?
So basically, I've been at One Extra for about a year and a bit, and I was doing the chart show Radio 1 at the time. And the very first time I got to be on Radio 1 is because one of my fellow presenters got the shits.
Amazing.
It happens. Yeah,
perfect.
He couldn't come into work because he had a funny tummy. So I was just like, Clara, do you want to come and do an afternoon on Radio 1? And I was just like, really?
Was this after you put the laxatives in his drink?
Yeah, basically.
I ordered you a Deliveroo.
That's
showbiz. So he had a funny tummy. So like, okay, do you want to come in? I was like, okay, sure. And I was shitting myself because I think, Radio 1, it's still like a beast of a station and of a brand. It's globally known. And I think even when you work there, especially in those early days, I was still a bit like, fuck, you know, like Radio 1's, you know, I was so comfortable at One Extra, you know, and I've been there for a year and a half, so I bedded in and it was like, and it was calm. But then, and even though Radio 1 is literally in the same building, it's not that we don't use the same studios, it just felt different to me.
Was it like a whole new set of rules as well? Because it's like
not particularly. It's just different music. It was just slightly different music. I mean, you know, the culture of One Extra absolutely feeds so much of like what Radio 1 like does anyway. Like, you know, just sort of like black popular culture. It's pop culture these days. Like, you look at the top 10, all the songs that have been the biggest hits to charts over the past few years, you know, they're based in dancehall, R&B, hip-hop, like garage, house, you know.
That's a good point, man, because when One Extra first came out, it was pitched as the black music radio station, and Radio 1 was so different to that, wasn't it?
Oh my God! Like, yeah, they were like chalk and cheese, but the way they intertwine with each other is, a lot of the shows will
be played out on both of them, right?
Yeah, exactly. But at the time, there definitely still was like quite a distinct like difference, like sonically. So I was a bit like, oh fucking hell! But it was nerve wracking, but it was really fun. But I didn't really think anything of it. So I remember at the time, a few people were a bit like, oh. You got your first Radio 1 cover, you know what that means? I was just like, guys, like, just relax. Like, it was one cover. It's not that deep. Yeah. And then I remember, I think Fern had to go on holiday at one point, and they got me into like to cover Fern's show. And then again, people were just like, oh, there's Whisper, she's leaving, you know. They're looking at you, and I was just a bit like, no, she's not. Like, it's like, no, it's. And I genuinely was just like, well, no, there were other people. I just thought, well, if anything, so and so's going to get it. So I just like turned up, had fun. I did my thing, and then it was sort of like February 2015, and my boss at the time, this dude called Ben, he asked for a meeting with me and my agent. I was just like, okay, cool,
shit,
interesting. And then I thought, maybe it's coming, maybe it's not. You do it because again, you just never know. Because I think that's the thing about this game. Like, someone could call you for a meeting to tell you that you're fucking fired.
Everything's so unsure, isn't it? Yeah.
But this is it. So then I remember he was like, Clara, I want you to remember this day. Like, really, like, proper. You know, like, X Factor style, when they tell you, like, you don't go home and pack your bags. That kind of energy. He was like, I want you to remember this day, because today's the day you got offered daytime on Radio 1. I was just like, oh my God.
My price went up.
Yeah, my price went up. Yeah.
Yeah,
in the bag.
Yeah, it was mad. And then yes, I said yes. And then I had to keep it quiet for about three weeks to about a month. But I do remember that I got drunk at a Brit's after party, and I told Yasmin Evans off of one extra. I was just like, right, I've got to tell you something. I was like, I'm taking it, Fern's leaving, I'm taking over. She was like, oh my God! I was like,
yes, yes, that's amazing.
Yeah, I told Yasmin Evans, and I told Andy Mack, and he was just like, oh my God, okay. I was like, don't tell anyone. So you're like so drunk, and you'll be really over attention.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah.
Don't tell anyone!
Waking up the next morning, like, you didn't tell anyone, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, what I told you, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But then, luckily, Yasmin and Annie held it down. Then it got announced officially, and then, yeah, here we are 5 years later.
Amazing.
Would have been mad.
When did you go from? I don't think I remember like a moment where I first saw you or something. I just basically started seeing you
just about.
Like, in front of the camera, like, yeah, like just suddenly like in front of cameras at like award shows, and like, what, how did that happen? How did it go from doing radio to the camera?
For example, like the Brits, I remember they approached me, I think in my second year doing the radio show, and it was a really like lovely and natural thing, just because the Brits would be in conjunction with Radio 1 for the Breakthrough Artist Award. It was like, well, you know what, and that'd be voted for by like, this is a Radio 1, and they would perform on my show, like all the nominees. So I was approached to like do the red carpet stuff, and I was like, okay, this makes great sense, because I see all these people anyway when they come and perform on my show. So I see people on the red carpet, like, oh, let me nominate it. Like, it just
makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, and for however long they continue to like book me for it, I love doing the Brits. It's like such a fun night. And I think from doing that, obviously, like other sort of, like you know, like TV, like producers sort of like notice me, and so like, you know, I started doing like Glastonbury, and then from like doing Glastonbury and like the Brits, so like, I started doing Top of the Pops Christmas, which is always makes me feel good, because it's such like a sort of traditional part of like Christmas day,
nostalgia,
Christmas. And we all watched it growing up, and then like, you know, like sort of doing film premieres. Obviously, I interviewed you lot on the red carpet, like the back. I always had to hold up the mic. It's like let me get my deodorant stick. But seeing you lot at like the BAFTAs, and so it just sort of like grew from there. That TV still scares the hell out of me. Like, I still get so nervous before it, but I love it, and I prefer live TV over pre-recorded stuff, like, for sure, like, because it's just such a buzz. I think I'm just used to the element of life because of radio.
Yeah, well, it's in you, isn't it, from radio? Yeah. And I guess we live in the sort of more modern time where radio actually means that, you know, you've had cameras in the studio filming you for like the YouTube, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So it's like, I guess it's not such a massive jump to then step in front of a camera.
Like, when I started at One Extra, like, I mean, things were definitely filmed, but like, but now it's even tenfold. Like, so you could roll into work, because obviously I was doing like breakfast radio. Weekend breakfast, so I'd get into work for 6 for the show starts 7, so I'd roll into work looking like shit, you know, like tracky bottoms, like no makeup, like hair and mess, whatever, and I have to worry about being filmed, and like slowly but surely, like, interviews start getting filmed, for fuck's sake.
God, you can't wear a tracksuit today.
But I still can, but like, you know, it's just like, yeah, stuff lasts forever. And, I'm vain. I want to look cute. If the content's going to be out there, I want to make somewhat of an effort. I mean, there are some things I genuinely don't give a shit, but yeah, I think, you know, it just the digital age and how it's affected like broadcast, like everything can be content now, and it's not just getting a sound bite, it's getting something that you can turn into like a meme or a GIF or to float around on YouTube or Twitter. So,
oh man, and it's going to go everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're always on. Hence but why I chose my favourite lip gloss for this podcast.
Oh, thank you. But you've been to like Justin Bieber's house. That's mad.
Yeah, that was weird. That was really weird. And that was, I think, in the thick of him sort of being like a proper little shitbag. But obviously he's you know, he's definitely done a 180. Because I remember at the time the listeners were just like, oh my God, like, what's his problem? And like, the thing is about somebody like Justin Bieber is that, you know, I give him a bit of a blight, and I think anybody within reason, when you become that kind of famous, I like, can't leave your house.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
another level.
Sees that anybody like looking at you famous, like at such a young age, like, you know, what, 10 or 11, and you're hot and you've got people who are three times your age depending on you financially, and nobody says no to you. It's going to fuck with you.
It's not normal.
It's not normal. Like, you know, the whole concept of famous, everything, like, it's a fucking abnormal way to live. And as a child, like, still developing, if no one says no to you between the ages of, like, you know, 10 to 16, by the time you're 21, unless your family unit is fully solid, you're going to probably become a bit of a dickhead, even if your family are safe, you know. But then on the flip side, like, I think, like, somebody like, for example, like Billie Eilish, she's really safe. She's genuinely, like, still a human being. Oh, yes. And her family units, they protect her so well. And no one's gassing her up in her team. Like, they support her, but you can tell she hasn't got bum knickers in
that's
her
group. Yeah.
And, like, she's really, like, safe and lovely. And, like, you know, she's the bloody biggest thing on the planet. So, you know,
when we met Ed Sheeran, like, he seemed just proper down to earth.
He's cool, good. He's a good egg. No, Ed's a good egg. I like him.
And similar with him, I think he still hangs around with his old mates. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, obviously, you know, it is mad and I guess unhealthy at that level to be that huge. But as much as you can do to kind of strip that back, you know.
Like, yeah, I remember he had a guy. He had a limited time and the guy was tapping his watch and Ed was like, wait, he was like,
yeah, he's still on his own time,
he's like, give me 5 minutes. I was like sick, he's gonna do what he came to do, like, he's not gonna kind of flake out.
He's definitely a good bloke, and I don't think he's
I met him when People Just Do Nothing was on YouTube. I was at the Brits randomly and he was walking to stage or something and he stopped me. And he was like, hey, man, I watch your YouTube thing. And I was like, what? Yeah. This is fucking mad. And he shook my hand and, like, yeah, gave me a hug. I was like, wow.
Did you cry?
Thug tears.
Yeah.
Just no judgment.
Yeah.
You've been doing, like, a lot of Q&As for films and stuff. But recently, there's a screening for... On the record, and you did the Q&A for that. But she's a G, that really woman, man. Like,
Drew
that
Dixon.
Story.
She's like, she's amazing. So, yeah, for people that don't know, Drew Dixon is she's a former A&R. She's like at Def Jam in the 90s. It was founded by Russell Simmons. So he is the brother of Reverend Run from Run's House, but more notably of the iconic hip hop trio Run DMC. Mm. And Drew says, and I believe her, that Russell Simmons raped her in the 90s, and it's really deep. So this is when she's an A&R there, and several women have come forward and have also said the same thing. In fact, 20 women have accused him at this point, and he's currently in Bali.
Yeah, man, it's mad. And not to get too into it and too graphic, but they all say exactly the same, like, he approached them exactly the same way. It's not, you know what I mean? It's just, it's too bait, man. It's just,
Is he in Bali to, so he doesn't get prosecuted?
Well, I believe so. I don't know the legal ins and outs, but basically he's in Bali because he definitely can't be in America right now.
So Drew
basically, like, came through and, like, with the truth, and it just opened up a whole can of worms about the culture, you know, like the rape culture, and just sort of like sexual assault and sexual indecency that a lot of women in the music industry have to deal with. And listen, Drew, like, she's like, you know, people talk about the culture like so much proverbially, like, this woman, you know, like A&R stuff, like Lauryn Hill, like Q-Tip, DeAngelo, like, she's the reason why Mary J. Blige is on the Method Man track, like,
we
all I need. Like,
Hugo, you know that track, yeah? That's what I mean.
You're, like, all I need to get.
It's not just like
badly singing.
It's an amazing big documentary tune, because it's super important, but also just how much she's done. Like, when I was watching it, I was getting goosebumps because they're thinking, like, especially me and Hugo, like, we're madly into 90s hip hop. That's what we kind of grew up on. And she was a key figure in, like, so many things we were into. You know that video of the show, Hugo, where Wu-Tang are arguing in Japan and shit?
Yeah.
That famous clip. Yeah, like, yeah. I watched that video millions. She put that together.
That was all her.
There's so many things that, like, sadly, it sometimes it takes for you to, like, find out through these things because she wasn't credited on a lot of those things.
Well, this is it. Like, she, like, in the documentary, like, she knew Biggie. Biggie used to, like, look out for her. And, like, this is the epitome of the fuckery as to how she was treated. She tried to sign John Legend and tried to sign Kanye.
Kanye,
and another exec called L.A. Reid, like, who's behind, like, TLC, people like that. Because she wouldn't sleep with him, like, basically, Kanye and John Legend weren't signed, and she had the ear on both of them, he let those two artists.
What, he was like the gatekeeper?
He denied them. He denied them. She brought them to him, because she wouldn't sleep with him. Yeah,
it's incredible. Like, you know, like, some work that she done won Grammys, and she couldn't even go to the Grammys because at that point, like, the assault and just the harassment that she had dealt with was so severe. She turned her back on the game, and which is so unfortunate. Trauma, so I'm really happy this documentary's out because people need to know that this shit is real, and it's still very much happening in 2020. Like, a lot of women I know in the music industry, every other woman I know works industry has got some kind of story, and that's just the black ass bottom truth of it. Like,
the sad thing and interesting thing as well is that when they were talking about the whole Me Too movement, and obviously it's sad and fucked, but it's mainly aimed at white women, and the fact that black women couldn't really relate to it.
This is it. And the irony is that, like, it was actually a black woman who started the Me Too movement in, like, 2006, but she kind of got erased from, she's called Tarana Burke, she's amazing, like, she'd look her up. But it was only until famous white women, you know, came through with their stories, like the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, the Brett Ratners or whatever. It was only then that the Me Too movement, like, gained traction. And as Drew explains in the documentary, I think when it comes to, you know, black women and the black community, because we have seen so much how our men get vilified, you know, in the media, and not just by the media, like, you know, like by the legal system, it's like, okay, fuck, well, okay, we've got to protect our bros. We've got to protect our bros, even if some of them are you know, sexually indecent. And and that's what Drew was saying. It's just like, well, fuck, like, do I want to throw this black man under the bus? Because I know the world wants to anyway, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. It's just like, and it shouldn't be that way, you know?
Yeah, it adds, like, another layer, like, of complication to it all. Yeah, it's really interesting, man. Like there's, you know, like, I mean, every situation's sad and fucked up, but that I really learned a lot from that.
I watched the Meek Mill. I don't know if anyone's watched this. But,
I haven't watched it yet, actually.
No, what's that?
But the way that, like, let's say a pop star, let's say Justin Bieber, committed an offence where he nearly got, where he was in an altercation, the case would get dropped. But with Meek Mill, even though he was, like, killing it, signed to Rick Ross, like, having hits.
Huge. Yeah.
Massive. He still, every week, had to go back to Philadelphia and report to his probation officer.
Mm.
And even if flights were cancelled, no matter what, he had to get back. And sometimes it was impossible. And that's why he kept going back to prison.
Yeah.
Man.
And then, obviously, people like Jay-Z and other people got involved and were like, this isn't cool. And that eventually it changed. But it's just...
It's wild. Completely
sad
wild.
That he had to jump through so many hoops, whereas if there was, you know, let's say Post Malone, he wouldn't have to do that.
Oh, yeah, it'd be different. Yeah. It's supposed to be cool. For sure.
Yeah, man.
Privilege.
That's true, man. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn.
I'm glad that we're at this point. You know, I think with the events of, like, recent months. I mean, to be honest, like, the event of recent years. If we're going to get that deep, the past 400 years. I mean, the conversations around, you know, like BLM, like the past, like, 7 or 8 years. I think I've definitely noticed a shift in the way that we talk about race and society now. And I think you can talk about, you know, the constructs of whiteness, you know, like as a social thing, as a critical thing, and people get it now, where before you couldn't say that.
Definitely. I think what we've seen of, like, even me, when I post things up about things, like, there's still, like, a few people, but what it is defensiveness, right? And then it's like all lives matter. Well, no, fucking hell, you're missing the point.
Yeah, we know they do. Yeah,
that's the point.
You know what? I swear to God, there are some racist white people who genuinely think that every single black person on the planet is in some fucking world group chat and we've got this evil plot to turn all of the UK and America.
They're trying to be more important.
And we want to enslave white people and become the rulers. But there are people. If you get to the crevices of Twitter, they're just like, you see, they're plotting, and they want. See that Meghan Markle? That's why she got into the world, suddenly. Because they want to dilute the bloodline. It's just like, no, hun. We just want people to stop being disproportionately treated badly, brothers, and not flipping killed for going for a job. We're going to the shop to go get some Skittles. How about that? Drive their nice car around and not be harassed. It's literally that simple.
It's just super simple, base level equality. Like, that's it, you know? I don't know, it shouldn't even be an argument, you know?
It shouldn't.
Exactly. It's not a debate.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of people are starting to understand that even the phrase, like, saying white people, what you're talking about is society and how it has been constructed for the benefit of one race over another. You know, it's not saying, oh my God, I think you are a member of a fascist right-wing party and you want to go stabbing and shooting people and saying nasty, words in people's faces. Like, it's really not that. Like, the literature is out there for you to educate yourself on the basics of this, and then we can have a conversation. Like, when angry racist people get my mentions, I don't even engage anymore. Like, I'm just like, you literally don't have the range. So I can't talk to you on a level because you don't have the range. I can't remember, like, I had Jay-Z on the show, name just dropped from the sky, don't worry. About 3 or 4 years ago, and I asked him, how does it feel? I mean, even with your privilege, I said to him, how does it feel to be a guy raising a young black family in America? And I remember I had a few tweets, like, oh my God, that's so racist. You wouldn't ask him that if he was white, da 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 da. And I thought, you don't have the range, because the fact that you were asking me that question. I can't engage. I just mute people, or I just block them so they can just carry on screaming and do this. And I'm sure there might be some people who might be upset about the conversation we're having now. I'm letting you know, hon, I don't care.
No, fuck them.
Yeah, 100%. And do you know what? There are standards, man. And like what you said earlier, it's literally just education. Like, there's things that you can't argue with. And people, like, no one can be blamed for being ignorant or
understanding on certain matters.
And even me, like, I'm half Rocky, but I'm white. I look white. I don't understand it at all. So I'm here to talk about it. But I think it's important to talk about it so that I can learn more. And that's all I can do.
100%. And I think that, again, I think as well as the sort of like group chat, like Wakanda conspiracy, I think there's a thing about people thinking that we don't want harmony. It's like, I want us to get to a point where we can all literally hold hands and do our kumbaya and it be equal and good. And I don't want people to not see colour. See colour. Celebrate it. Let's celebrate our differences and our cultures. But let's just level the flipping playing field and eradicate systemic racism. That's literally all anybody wants, is got any fucking common sense.
Yeah.
You know? And that's that on that.
Yeah. Nice.
Wow, DJ Ostrich, why you stop the show? Well, I tell you, bro, this is the most important part. It's the question everybody wants to know. No, it is not what is your favorite jean fit. No, it is not what is your favorite size inch television. It's what is your favorite sandwich?
So now we've got to the most important part of the show. What's your favorite sandwich?
Oh, that's a great question. My favourite sandwich is, I've got three, but it has to be just one. Okay.
Do you know what? Anyone that's passionate enough, I let them have a top three.
Okay, my top three, in no particular order, is a BLT with loads of mayonnaise, salmon. Salmon and rocket situation. Love me some rocket, I do.
Bit of spice.
Yeah, man. And I do like a tuna sweet corn moment. Okay. It's got to be super fresh, because I hate when you get like a store-bought tuna sandwich. It's gone a bit sloppy.
Oh, a bit dry.
Yeah.
On the outside.
I need fresh lettuce.
Nice little Nice little prep set.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they do come prep with their sandwiches, let's just be honest.
They do.
All right, and the last part of the show, the three questions. You've got to ask us three questions.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah. Three questions. Oh, wow. Why are you putting me on the spot here? Okay.
Yeah, this is your job, man. Come on.
I know.
This is what you do.
I'm snitching on myself here, aren't I? Yeah. Okay. What thing in pop culture at the moment do you absolutely not get the hype about? What do you think is wildly overrated right now in pop culture?
You go first.
I'm trying to think.
I got you there, didn't I?
Yeah.
It can be anything, a song, a TV series, a person, an item of clothing, like whatever.
Balenciaga trainers.
Oh, yes.
That's a good answer.
I don't get it. There's one pair that I think are okay, but it's not me.
Yeah.
All right, that's a good answer, Hugo. We'll take that.
Thank you.
Okay, so mine would probably be middle-class kids that constantly say, calm, G. That's my fucking head in.
Yeah, same.
All right. And they use using slang wrongly, yeah? So, like, one of our gigs, they'd be like, yo, that set was so cotch. I'm like,
yeah, or that set was crease, man.
Yeah,
All right, second question.
Ready.
Hugo, what is Alan's most annoying habit? Alan, what is Hugo's most annoying habit?
That's a good question.
Real talk only.
I'm trying to think.
But maybe it's the same for both of us, but mood swings for Hugo?
I do have mood swings. I try to manage them.
Yeah, you don't have them much, but that's why...
You know what? My girlfriend says that I turn into LA Britney. I think it's true.
What about mine? Probably haven't got one.
Yeah. You know what? Like, bad organisation pisses him off. I'll give you an example. One time, things were badly managed and we were doing a show. And we were standing behind stage and there was stuff in the way. And he was in a foul mood. And he went, how the fuck are we meant to get to stage? What would Michael Jackson do if he was meant to get to this stage? We were playing Bristol nightclub. But yeah, snapping out of the mood. Yeah.
And moving swiftly on to the third question. But inspired by what you said, Hugo, what is your favourite Britney Spears song, each of you?
Oh, the Neptunes ones. For You.
Okay, mine's the Primo joint, Toxic. Because DJ Premier.
Oh, Toxic isn't that a good one. Slay For You, very good one. Excellent selections, guys.
Thank you.
All right, so Clara, thanks so much for finally making it happen with us.
Yes, and, thank you.
Yeah, it was amazing. One more question. This is the final question this time, yeah? And it is the most important question. Are you our new best friend?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Hey, Clara for everyone.
Yes, you man. You man been on any drillings recently?
Nah, G.
Nah, same, man.
Calm.
Have you guys heard of the new Beats and Grinder podcast?
Nah, G. I heard it's their man in real life, though.
That's what I'm saying. It's so cotch.
Oh, G, that sounds so crease.
It is, man, it is. Calm.
Calm, G.
And there you go. The absolute queen of her realm, Clara Ampho.
Yes.
How'd you feel about that?
Yeah, enjoyed it. Still buzzing 2 days later.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, she was a sick guest.
Yeah, she's a G, man. So yeah, big up Clara. Thanks for coming on. Make sure you check her out on her mid-morning show on Radio 1. And I'm sure you see her pop up pretty much everywhere.
Presenting loads of stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. Nice one. Just thinking, when Clara asked me what my favourite Britney Spears track was, I said Toxic because DJ Premier made it. That's bullshit. I've just realised that I got that mixed up with Christina Aguilera. I'm not even into Christina Aguilera. Well, all Britney, to be honest. So, yeah. Probably put that in as a disclaimer. Nice one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.